Hi, Howard. Thanks for making a little time for Wisconsin listeners.
My pleasure, Stephanie. Thanks for having me.
Critics love your work, and you've been a guest on NPR many, many times. Terry Gross is a big fan. Why do you think you're so popular with public radio listeners?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I fool people into thinking I speak well. I don't know. I guess I can be a little bit of a talker sometimes, and maybe that goes over well on NPR, or maybe I'm just lucky. I don't know.
Do you write not just the lyrics to your songs, but do you do other kinds of writing as well?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I write and I paint and I play music and I've written some stuff for theater, and the form sort of, the feeling comes first and then the form happens later. So I never really sort of plan out the way that it's going to come out.
I did see that you have quite a background in theater, and I was wondering to what degree that informs your music.
Well, I think it informs it a lot. It has a lot to do with the way that the stage show happens and the way that the songs are presented in a storytelling kind of a way. And a big part of what I do in the live show, it does involve sort of talking about the songs and making a connection with the audience. So I think that comes from my background in theater, yeah.
And we know that public radio listeners love to have the backstory to songs and pieces of art. And we're going to start with something that you wrote down in New Orleans, La Danse de Mardi Gras. You've got, before we start with that, let's say you just released a trilogy of albums last fall.
Yes, I did. And this particular song, it comes from the CD called Better Get Right, which is kind of my love letter to New Orleans, where I got my musical start. And this particular song is not one that I wrote. This was an old Cajun song, and my very first professional gig was in New Orleans playing guitar in a traditional Cajun band. And the leader of the band, this guy, Butch Trevette, who had a big influence on me, sat me down one day and showed me about 2,000 different Cajun songs. And this particular one really stuck with me because of the backstory behind it. And he told me it's about the tradition in Louisiana and Cajun country outside of New Orleans during Mardi Gras. And what happens there is the men get up on horseback and ride through the night, in the middle of the night, carrying torches and screaming the song at the top of their lungs. And the lyrics, which I do my best to sing in Cajun, basically say that. They say, it's Mardi Gras, we ride from house to house demanding food, even if it's a potato or a piece of chicken skin.
That sounds like quite a scene.
Yeah, I've never actually seen it myself. I really want to, but I try to get at the visuals that come into my head with the way that we do this song. It's not usually done this style, you know, with drums and a brass band, but we try to take this old Cajun song and do something a little different with it.
And who do you have backing with all the brass?
On this particular record, I've got Andre Murchison on trombone, Roland Barber on trombone, Etienne Charles on trumpet, Jordan Pearlson on drums, and Jose Davila on tuba.
Will you have some brass with you when you come to Wisconsin?
I sure will.
All right. Let's hear a little bit of La Danse de Mardi Gras.
Thank you.
excerpt from Better Get Right, released by our guest, Howard Fishman. This one's La Danse de Mardi Gras, telling the story of what happens in the Cajun backcountry. Boy, that's it's such a lively piece, but you hear the minor chords in there. It's got a little bit of a little bit of sadness.
Yeah, there's something funny about Cajun music, and my ears sort of got bent permanently when I was in New Orleans and learning this music, because it's weird. There's minor tonalities get pushed up against these big major guitar chords, and you get this sort of this kind of sideways kind of sound, and it doesn't always make sense to your ear right away, but after you get used to it, it feels really good.
Yeah, it's certainly different. Well, what a place to cut your teeth and start your professional life.
Yeah, I was really lucky to be able to start down there, and it sort of informs everything I do. Even when I'm not playing New Orleans music, I feel like the stamp of what I learned down there is on it.
You released three completely different sounding records all at once. Were these meant to be a trilogy?
No. I went into the studio with a big backlog of material because I released my last record before these three was a live record. So the last studio recording I made of original material was way back in 2005. And in 2009, after 4 years, I had this really big backlog of material that I'd been writing all along, which just hadn't recorded yet. So I just went in and started recording without really having a notion of what was going to happen. I knew it was a lot of material. I knew I had a lot of different kinds of players coming in, a lot of different styles happening, but I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if it was going to be one record or two. It ended up being three, and it ended up being, once I sort of saw the whole, I could sort of delineate and say, oh, these are actually very clearly three different projects. But I didn't really know that as I was doing it.
So you bring the brass in and you do the New Orleans music, you bring the strings in and you do the Brooklyn music, or is that sort of how it worked?
Well, no, the strings actually I brought in for the album about my travels through Romania, and that album is a song cycle about traveling through Eastern Europe, and it contains musically the most lush sort of elaborate arrangements really that I've ever done in my short career of, I guess I now have 10 records. But while I had the strings in there, I brought in a string quartet. I said, you know, I'm doing this other record, it was another record. I said, I have these other songs that are very stripped down, that are very stark and bare and sort of heartbreak songs, and wouldn't it be nice to add some strings here or there? So while they were there, I said, hey, let's, you know, I'm going to write this little introduction, for example, for this one particular song, and I'd like to have you guys do it while you're here. And so they ended up playing on some of the songs on this stripped-down Brooklyn record, but they were really there to record the Romania stuff.
The record that you're talking about is The World Will Be Different, which is the classic heartbreak record. Was that from a real-life story?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that there's a way to write those kinds of songs unless they, you know, they're based in reality. But hopefully, they're not so personal that people can't take something of, you know, feel something of their own experience in the songs that I wrote. That's always the goal.
Why don't we listen to one of those from The World Will Be Different? I think you mentioned maybe Just You and I would be a good one to hear.
Oh, sure. That sort of kicks off the record. And yeah, this is perfect because you will hear the string quartet sort of just play a few bars opening, and then before it kicks into the just guitar and bass really are the only things on this track other than the strings in the beginning.
Yeah, that really sets the tone for the song.
Thanks.
Here's Just You and I. Our guest is Howard Fishman, and this is from his record, The World Will Be Different.
Try wish no words existed. They don't always apply. If we can't do any better, just you and I, my love for you will last forever. It will not die.
Just You and I, a song by Howard Fishman from his record, The World Will Be Different. I'm Stephanie Elkins, and Howard Fishman will be in Wisconsin this Wednesday, October 26th, at the Brink Lounge in Madison. And then on Friday, October 28th, at the Door Community Auditorium in Fish Creek. Howard, boy, that was quite a different style from the one we heard a little earlier.
Yeah, they really are three very different records. I mean, people said, well, why didn't you just put it on a triple album? And it wouldn't make sense. You know, it'd be too schizophrenic. They're really three very different things, even though they came out at the same time.
Well, you certainly cross genres, and I know that you've written an oratorio even, so you go from folk to jazz to gypsy to classical. What's your background in music?
I'm self-taught. So. Maybe that's why it's easy for me to sort of think I can do all these things, because nobody ever told me I couldn't.
You know, in some ways, that's a blessing, isn't it?
Yeah.
No boundaries. Now, you mentioned earlier your trip to Eastern Europe. When did you do that, and why?
This was a few years ago. I have a childhood friend named Michael Beninov, who's not a novelist, I guess. His books are not novels. A book writer and a travel writer. And he was going over there to research a book. He was going over for a month to sort of rough it in Romania, Ukraine, and Hungary. And he said, you know, I keep going on these trips, and I keep inviting you, and you never come. And, you know, why don't you come on this one? It doesn't look like you've got a lot going on your calendar, and I know you'd love it. And so it's true. You know, he'd been asking me to go on trips to Africa and Asia, and I always turned him down. So this time I said, okay. And we spent most of the month in rural Romania in the province of Maramureș, and we were really kind of roughing it and sort of thumbing rides and visiting these really, really small villages that sort of felt very untouched by modernity. And it was kind of like traveling back in time. It was a very meaningful experience to me, and it wasn't until I'd been back for, I think, about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, I wasn't planning on writing anything about the trip. I just thought it was a vacation. But then new songs started pouring out of me. The first song that I wrote of this song cycle was one, I call it the title track, even though it's not the name of the record, because it kicks off the record and it sort of sets the tone, and it's called In Romania.
It sort of reflects a little bit of the beauty and the ugliness and the village life and all of that.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the goal. Yeah. The goal with the whole record. This record, I think, of all of them, this is the one that has seemed to really strike the deepest chord with listeners. Maybe because it's a cycle and it tells a story, or maybe because it's totally outside experience as Americans, or most of our experience as Americans, some of the things that I talk about on the record. I'm particularly proud of this one, and I'm glad you're going to play one from it. Thanks so much.
Well, Howard, thank you very much for spending time with us.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure and an honor, and I'm always humbled and so grateful when somebody like you chooses somebody like me, and it's because of people like you that people like me can exist and do what we do. So thank you for what you do.
You're welcome, and I know you'll get a nice, warm Wisconsin welcome.
Can't wait.
Yeah, good. We look forward to it. This is In Romania by my guest Howard Fishman.
Yes, and though there's no sunshine and everything's gray, we're driving through fog, but we like it that way. 'Cause anything's better than where we've come from. The future is unknown, and that's half the fun in Romania. in Romania, in Romania, in Romania.